Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Right, well, welcome back to Classic Business, only on Classic 102.7. It's that time of the of our show where we have a share shootout. This is where we ask three fund managers for their top picks and to provide some detail around why they like an idea. And joining me for this is Nick Kuntz. Hopefully I'm saying that right. He is a portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. He's nodding at me here across the studio from me. Devin Shute, who's online and he's on telephonically with us. He's the head of investments at the Robert Group. And then Dricus Kombrink. He's a portfolio manager at Capicraft Investment Partners. Good evening, gentlemen, and thank you for joining us. Now, before we start, there's three choices for each one of you. I just want you to intro what the three choices are, because we might not get through absolutely all of them, but I'm hoping that we can. So, Devin, good evening to you. Let's start with you. Just quick, briefly, what are your three picks?
Yes, Kirby. So we've got a high flying insurer and shared value play in Discovery Holdings. Many of us will know the medical exit. They're releasing some other exciting products and businesses. Next is an industrial holding company called CUP. And third is an interesting one. It's listed on the Oslo Stock Exchange. It's a Norwegian salmon fishing company called Leroy.
Right. Okay. So that's not listed here in South Africa, right?
No, you have to get exposure to that on the Oslo Stock Exchange.
On the Oslo Stock Exchange. Good. We're going to be listening to that. We're going to be listening to that just now. Dricus, let's come to you. Your three picks tonight.
Well, firstly, I've got the private schools group Curro. I think the most of the unrealistically high assumptions about the stock and its future growth has been priced out at this stage. I think it started 2018 at about $47, was as high as the 50s, and it came down to about 25, I think 23 at the moment, 23 something. And I think most of the unrealistic assumptions are priced out, but it's still got a great growth profile ahead of it. Secondly, Trellidor, 35, 40 years of experience there. Owner managed still by the founders, and trading at about a 6 price earnings ratio. It feels like Christmas out there when you dive below the top 40. And then there's Ekopolska, the locally listed Polish retail REIT, and it's trading about a 10% dividend yield.
Great, thank you, Nick. Let's hear from you. Your three picks.
Okay, my three picks are also quite diverse. I've got the MultiChoice Group, which listeners will know from the spin-off of pay TV from MultiChoice and the sports broadcaster. Secondly, I've got Investec Bank, which I'm sure everyone's familiar with. And thirdly, again, I'm sure everyone's familiar with, also locally listed, that's Mediclinic Group.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for that. So if you're listening and you're maybe not listening to the full half an hour, you now know which ones those stock picks are. Devin, let's start with you. Discovery, they've just come out with their set of results. Hopefully you've waded through those results and you've looked at absolutely everything. Pretty complicated business to understand, and now with the advent of the bank, it's becoming even more complicated. Take us through why you like Discovery Holdings.
Yeah, Kobe. So those results were interesting. There were some soft spots there. The life business particularly was affected by a few large sum assured claims. So the actuaries really got it wrong there. But I think there's a couple drivers of growth in this company, and that's really what you're buying. You're buying the bank to be launched. And I mean, if you look at the track history of Discovery launching new businesses, they have a pretty good record there. It takes them anywhere between 5 and 10 years to achieve profitability, and then that becomes massively accretive. So they're in the investment stage. They've shelled out close to 7 billion rand to launch this bank, but I think they will pull it off. But what's exciting at the moment is these emerging businesses that have become profitable in the last 12 months. So if you think of businesses that they own, like Discovery Insure, that's growing profits at a massive rate. The partner markets group, which in my mind is particularly exciting, and that's where they effectively franchise the Vitality model out to partners around the world. They earn a franchise fee as well as a share of the actuarial profits. And then also partnerships with companies like Ping An in China, where you've got a huge burgeoning middle class to service. So, you know, core business is still solid, health and life doing well there. I like the shared value model, and then you've got some real nice growth drivers in an innovative business.
Thanks for that, Devin Drickus. Let's go to you. Which one do you want to pick, Kuro?
Yeah, let's go with Kuro. It's I think it was a real hot stock a few years ago. Yeah. And
this is the school's business, right?
This is the school's business. Yep. Stadio listed separately quite recently, I think end of 2017. So you're not getting the tertiary business in there. But that's actually what I like. Not that I think the tertiary business is a bad business. I think there's a lot of potential there. But what you're getting with Kuro Schools is you're getting a competitive moat there. There's already a moat. It's already a recognized brand. They are they've started consolidating with other, or they've taken over other private school players, smaller players like the Meridian Group. Last year they bought four schools, two of them that they bought just at the replacement cost value is 20% below what they can build it, and they're already building at 20-30% cheaper than the rest of the market is building schools. So they've got a few competitive advantages, and I think the market has just lost sight of the longer term picture. I think investors in general, especially when you dive below the top 40, is very myopic at the moment, short term orientated, looking for liquidity, and what's basically priced in at the moment is only the existing schools being run up to full capacity. There's no extra, from my calculations at least, there's no extra school built being priced in over the longer term. And I think that presents a big opportunity for some, for a patient investor.
Because some people would say it's a brave man that dives below the top 40 at this stage, but you're quite right. I mean, there's certainly a huge amount of value in that space. Arguably in South Africa, maybe some of those companies are of the cheapest in the world. Nick, do you want to go with MultiChoice? I mean, that's an interesting choice. I mean, most people would side with Naspers, but you're choosing MultiChoice.
Yeah, I mean, certainly one of maybe the more unloved spin-off of recent. I mean, everyone will know this has been part of the high-flying Naspers, and effectively this is the unloved version. You know, this is everyone, you know, kind of cutting the cord and getting away from, you know, satellite and pay TV. But, I mean, everything has its price, and if you strip down this intrinsic value of this particular share, they still have a massive footprint into Africa. They've got a huge selection of portfolio, video content, sports broadcasting rights, and everyone who wants to watch sport in South Africa will know you have to go with MultiChoice.
Nick, where does the growth come from here for MultiChoice going forward?
Well, just on a base valuation, if you look at just what's happening in Africa on international standards, their footprint's actually still very small relative to international. There's plenty of runway to growth. It's still a very cash generative business, and yes, maybe not necessarily just a pure growth play, but a business that's producing a significant amount of free cash flow, assuming a 9 or 10 forward PE on the business, we anticipate at least a 5-6% dividend yield up to when they're going to pay next year. So not just a growth business, but also a nice cash generative business too.
Devin, let's come back to you. Your second pick was that of the industrial stock CAP.
Yes, so speaking about unloved sections on the market, you don't have to look much further than kind of industrial South Africa. And I think that's one of the drivers for this pick. You know, it's a very well-managed little business. It's highly cash generative. It's diversified. It's in areas like automotive components, chemicals, mattresses. Even timber and logistics are thrown in there. It's still probably struggling with a bit of reputational damage from the Steinhoff affiliation. They still do own 26% of the business, but they operate independently of it. But they not only cash generative, but they're sitting on a significant amount of cash. And where I think the growth in this stock will come from is future acquisitions. I think in that sector where it has just been so in crisis and some companies are really struggling, I think they can kind of cherry pick opportunistic companies where they can take out there. So, you know, they've expressed as much. And they'll look in places like big infrastructure. You know, if you look at the budget, there was definitely a move from spending to investment in infrastructure. You know, whether we're actually going to get that as just talk remains to be seen. But practically, we have seen other policy implementations like the government's extension of the motor industry support plan, that's been extended till 2035, an extra 15 years there. So that really helps these manufacturers of these components to plan for CapEx into machinery and the like. So, yeah, I mean, I think you've got a stable compounder here, strong balance sheet, good execution record, and I think they're going to take advantage of some opportunities in the sector.
Right. I mean, arguably, in a portfolio that you're building, this would become at a limited weighting. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. I mean, I don't think that you're going to have an aggressive weighting in it, but I think it does justify a weighting in a balanced portfolio.
Trickers, let's have you up again, Echo Polska.
Well, yeah.
And again, I mean, just tell the listeners exactly what Echo Polska does, because some people just wouldn't know what it does.
Well, it's a real estate investment trust. It's listed here, and it's they invest basically in retail properties in Poland. And being a REIT, they're supposed to pay out a certain percentage of their net operating income, and that is taxable, unfortunately, at your marginal tax rate as an interest income. Okay. So it's not a dividend, but sitting at a 10% in euro terms, you're earning essentially in euros, or the report in euros at least, while the functional a currency is the Polish zloty, which has been under pressure the last year. But even in euro terms, the company has been able to grow net rental income at 4% last year, and that's in an environment where inflation is 1%. So you're getting net rental income about 4% or 3% real above about a 10% dividend yield. That gives you a 13% euro total return per year, which is not bad in euro terms. To equate that to the SA retail stocks, you would need about 17-18% return in rand terms to equate that.
Right, okay, and then obviously you're getting the rand hedge component here all built in and everything into a stock like this.
Absolutely, so it's euro-based mostly, but the economic fundamentals is more towards Eastern Europe, which I favour at this stage, not too bullish on the Western European economies.
And Rick, this would be a mid cap or a small cap?
Yeah, only a few billion. It's not a large cap.
Okay.
So once again, diving beneath the top 40.
Yeah, diving beneath the top. I mean, that's where the value is at the moment. But these are brave moves because I mean South Africa is not a favorite.
My argument always is, if you're going for large cap companies, why not buy them offshore? Why do you have to concentrate on 40 companies that's listed on the South Point of Africa?
Hmm?
So, generally, we go for the large caps that's listed offshore.
Good point. Nick, your second pick was Investec. That's a little bit more large cap.
A little more large cap and a little bit more well-known, I think. Everyone is well aware of Investec. I mean, I guess changing times at Investec. I mean, long-standing founder and CEO, Stephen Kossoff, stepping down, making way for joint CEOs, Henrik de Toy and Fani Titi coming in. Still one of the largest asset managers in its space, $120 sort of billion dollars under management. Stock currently trading at 86 Rand a share at the moment. We have a fair value closer to 120. Those who do follow the share will remember when they did announce the asset management spin-off, the share went up to about 120, which is what we have value at. Currently trading at 86 Rand. Not expensive, in line with probably some of the other financials, maybe a little bit cheaper intrinsically, trading on a PE of under 10. So for large financial services house, not expensive. And a nice dividend yield of 5%. But I think given what's happening with Brexit exposure, a little bit of the changes that have been happening, maybe it's held it back a little bit too. So we think there's significant value in the share.
And I mean, obviously, as they spin out the asset management business away from the bank, and I suppose the Manco company will go with the asset management
Correct.
Business, you ultimately won't just own the one share, you'll own the two shares, and then you can decide where you want to go from there. I mean, any preliminary kind of thoughts around what you would want to own, the bank rather than the asset manager, or both attractive?
I think they're both attractive. The asset management arm obviously sitting with significant assets, and you're going to get a pure annuity income management fee on that. So provided those assets continue to grow like they are, and bearing in mind, I think they've got $120 billion. They're one of the largest, the largest within the African space. I think Sanlam are next with half that, 70. So significant business with significant management fees to go for. So I'd lean more towards the asset management business.
Devin, let's get you back up again. Leroy, am I even saying it correctly? Listed on the Oslo Exchange.
Yeah, not bad. Leroy, I've been told. I mean, I could also be murdering it there. Going off our shores here into Norway. This was a company that was founded in the 1800s by a Norwegian fisherman, family owned till the early 2000s, and then went public. And I mean, can you imagine a better place to farm salmon than off the icy waters of West Norway? So what you've got here is you've got structural demand for fishing, and in particular Norwegian salmon. you've then got a very established player, probably the biggest globally. They feed through their products approximately 5 million people a day. And you've actually got a very efficient product. So the feed ratios of salmon are almost 1-to-1. So through the lifetime of a salmon, you barely feed it its body weight in food. So very efficient there. Tough farming conditions, but these guys know the business. They've been around for a long time. And they're fully entrenched in their value chain. So from the farming to the processing and the distribution, they do a good job. They actually, the finances make sense in this business, and that's what actually kind of screened for us when we were looking at value and profitability. They've got a very healthy margin, currently 24%, and they're growing that, and they're doubling their earnings almost every 5 years. So, you know, on a 13 times price earnings multiple, decent dividend, $40 billion company, it's unusual, but we think it's a niche for our investors to look at.
Devin, why so cheap? I mean, if it's such a dripping roast, why are other people not why are the people not piling in here?
Well, look, it's not a diversified play for one. So, I mean, I think, you know, there are a lot of specific drivers in the fisheries market. I think weather also does come into it. But what you're seeing is that kind of structural underpin of demand overriding those cyclical factors. And you know, on a decent valuation, they've managed to grow into it recently with those earnings increasing as they have. We think the opportunity is now.
Right, that's Devin Shute. Drikas, your third stock pick was Trellidor.
That's right. Yeah, I think we're all familiar with the company, and one of the main attractions is to me, it's what I can call a buffer type stock. It's a brand name that's the leader of the pack. No other brand name. And I'm going to get a few emails tomorrow morning about this statement, but no other brand name in its sector comes even close to what they're doing. I like the fact that the owners own a significant portion of the shares. That makes the share very liquid, except for the fact that it's already a small cap share. It's very liquid because there's a high insider ownership. It was privately owned by, I think, a private equity company. Owned it just 3-4 years ago when it listed. After listing, it bought Trailer Blinds, which also is a great brand name in the Western Cape, and they're starting to push through new products through the distribution system. They do not own the shops. They do not account for the overheads. It's not theirs. It's a franchisee agreement that they have. So a lot of the business risks and operational risks with regards to that is out. They're the brand name owner, and they basically do not account for the distribution costs. So I like that as well.
So Drikas, I mean, I would concur. I mean, I think it's a great business, but this is now a microcap. So we're filtering even lower down from a size constraint perspective. I mean, difficult to get stock because of liquidity.
Well, I think to the typical listener that's a private investor, I suppose, that's listening to the show, it's not impossible. But I think that's why it's trading at the values that is. What we've seen at least the last 2 years in the market is that as a lot of investors exit our market, offshore and local investors, as they externalize wealth, they tend to dump these shares, and there's no larger players coming in to fill the void, to fill the bid, like they do on the larger shares. So typically there's a void on the bid side. There's not enough liquidity coming in on the bid side. And I think that's the opportunity at the moment for these shares. What will unlock the value? Well, we need the recovery in the economy, number one. Or number two, what we're starting to see is in the micro and small cap space and mid caps as well, is that the corporate players are starting to take these guys out. I'm sure there's a lot of boardroom meetings at the moment, either considering delistings at a premium, of course, that's normally how it happens, or they're discussing acquisition offers that we haven't heard about. So we've seen Verimark, we've seen Clover, we've seen Marion Roberts taken out. I'm sure they're not the last.
Howden last year.
I'm sure they're not the last. It doesn't make sense for a lot of these companies to be listed. You know, listing costs can vary for a small company, even for anything from 3 million to 20 million a year. Put that on, or subtract that from the balance sheet, or add it back rather if you delist or getting taken off, and that's already a big bump just in earnings for a lot of these companies.
Mm. No, good point. Nick, your third stock pick is the one and only Fall From Grace MediClinic International. Take us through why that is in your third stock pick.
It's funny because as I was sitting here, I actually wrote down Fallen Angel on the JSC next to it. So, yes, you're spot on. Medically, one of the Fallen Angels, you know, joining the 50% club that we've had on the JSC. We just think we've done a lot of work on it. We think at the moment it's certainly operating in a very tough environment. Let's get that out the way now. But it's got significant free cash flow. If it wasn't for the Swiss business that Hol has done, that subsidiary, it would actually, the earnings per share, the South African business, the Middle Eastern business was up 5 or 6%. And it's not expensive, another one. It's trading at about 55, 56 rand a share. It's 52-week low is 51 rand. We have a fair value of pretty much close to 80, 85 rand a share. So trading at a significant discount for what we've got as intrinsic value.
I mean, this is one stock that just couldn't get it right. I mean, they exited off the primary listing in the JSE and then enlisted themselves as a primary listing in the United Kingdom, and literally Brexit happened, literally simultaneously. And you saw the fallback there. Then you saw the foray into the Middle East, and it was the same thing. There we saw the co-payment system, I think it was in one of the Middle Eastern countries, you know, falling by the wayside. And I mean, the South African business is a brilliant business. There's nothing wrong with that business. It was this literal foray internationally.
Absolutely. I mean, in the South African business alone, I mean, they increased revenue by 5% in a South African environment where regulatory hurdles are getting worse for medical professions. Not to mention the fact that at the end of last year, we were in a technical recession. So you're spot on. You know, the South African business is firing ahead. But I mean, a lot of getting it right in business is about timing. I mean, if you look at how many South African companies, I mean, almost want to scream sometimes. I mean, if I see a South African company going to the UK or Australia, I mean, almost want to short the share. But I mean, how much of this is in the share price already? Well, according to our estimates, pretty much all of it.
I mean, Woolworths, great example of that.
Case in point.
Aspen, exactly. Another example of
100%.
That. 100%. But then you have FirstRand, which, you know, kind of dipped their toes into the UK market and seems to they seem to have a business now, but again, it wasn't a massive push internationally. It was almost like a dip your toes in and let's see how this goes.
I mean, from what we understand from the analysts that we've been speaking to, I mean, just putting the numbers into play with the likes of Mediclinic, you know, the cost of putting the bricks and mortar up, the beds, that, and not just that, the arrangements and the lock-in periods they have with the doctors and call in their different divisions, it's almost impossible to replicate that at this particular price. So it's a classic sum of the parts. It's not expensive and, as I said, a decent free cash flow as well on top.
Look, whilst in Switzerland, I went through past one of their hospitals and had a look at it. And I mean, you'd be happy to stay there. It's almost like a hotel. Drickers, I mean, interesting enough, most of your stock picks are mostly mid cap and small cap focused. Mm-hmm. You haven't got any large caps into that. What are you going to do from a diversification perspective in a portfolio of assets?
Well, our typical portfolio is multi assets. Number one, and it's multi-faceted. Well, it's all over the globe. So 50% of it is in what I would call developed markets, most of it in the US. So we've been lucky there the last 3 years, and that's done exceptionally well in dollar terms, more than in rand terms. Over the last 3 years, actually, the rand has weakened. You know, 3 years ago, it wasn't any good. So the base effect of the rand is actually eating into your offshore dollar earnings. And then about 50% of it is emerging markets, which is mostly focused locally. But locally, we do tend to focus on companies that's not only focused on SA, but it's focused on emerging markets like Naspers and or AB InBev and then Mondi, which is also Eastern European exposure, and companies that focus on Africa, because I think that's still the last frontier for investing for the growth, you know, the last frontier.
Mm. I mean, I'm gonna pose this question to Devin, but I suppose it's right around the table. Devin, I mean, one of the things that everybody around the table, nobody's come up with a resource. And I mean, that's been the top performing sector for the last 2-3 years. As a matter of fact, if we sat 3 years ago and I said, guys, look, I'll tell you what you do. Let's sell everything and just buy resource. You would have said, oh, you're crazy, you know. But I mean, that's in essence what we've seen. We've seen resources run and everything else at the expense of resources. Devin, your take on that?
So Kobe, look, I mean, we haven't been very, very constructive of resources in this whole rally. I think we just see that sector as a lot of externalities at the moment, a lot of unpredictable inputs, whether it's the currency, the underlying price of those commodities, the demand coming globally. So we've erred on the side of caution. We've really tried to keep our investing fairly straightforward for clients looking for businesses with predictable income streams and being able to value those accordingly. So, yeah, I mean, I think we've missed out, but we're okay with that.
Well, that was this evening's share shootout. And having joined me this evening is Nick Kuntz. He's the portfolio manager at, a portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. Devon Shoot, he was on the line with us from his head of investment at Robert Group. And then Dricus Kronbrink, he is a portfolio manager at Capicraft Investment Partners. And I suppose the one thing that continues to play in my mind as I look at all the stock picks is that stocks are not expensive. They are certainly great value to be had, especially in the mid-cap and the small cap sector. But remember, when you buy stocks, you're doing it for the long term. You're not trying to do it for the short term. You're trying to buy earning streams and you're trying to bank them for long periods of time. And that becomes more and more critical as you buy into volatile type markets. Well, that was edition of Classic Business on Classic 1027. Remember this evening, Melissa Stevens, she is in the lounge tonight if you're listening to us from Fine Music Radio. And then up in Gauteng, Caroline Steyn will host Winding Down. This is Classic Business only on Classic 1027.